Blog Talk Radio.
Unfortunately, the gremlins were in high gear before Christmas, and a lot of the shows were experiencing technical difficulties. So we really appreciate your patience and hanging with us and showing up to see if we actually are on the air. So this because of all the technical difficulties, we will be reading the Christmas poetry that we hopefully were supposed to read before Christmas. But as we all should keep the Christmas spirit 365 days of the year, maybe this will be a little bit of a shot in the arm to remember that we now have another, 360 days to go until Christmas. So, or no, less than that, 350, so which will go by like anything. Gray, are you out there?
Hello, Bobby.
Hmm.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, it's like whack-a-mole. I was looking to see where you came up.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Then here you got a bit of echo back there. Where are you? Are you in a 50-gallon drum?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's get some good reverb. We got some favorable responses on our Pentatonics recording of White Christmas. That's as close to White Christmas as we're having around here. I'm in Virginia, and you're supposed to get hit by the nor'easter, but it's just been nothing but wet all day long. It's been raining constantly. So, anyway, how were your holidays other than prep with electronic?
They were good, thank you. Feast, about to eat. Well, it's always good. Turkeys and ham.
Good. Good for you.
Absolutely.
Good for you. Well, the insanity is over for at least another 11 months. We can all exhale now. We're into the new year. Seems weird. I never got used to writing 2023, and now I'm writing 2024. It's so bizarre.
Yeah, exactly.
For us kids born in the 1900s, I never have gotten used to writing two first. It's been 19 forever. So, anyway, we have
I
got...
I know, I was thinking the same thing.
It's weird. And strangely enough, I will sometimes in the middle of the year write something strange like 1979 or 1987. I'll write some odd year, and I'll be like, where did that come from? Anyway, we have our Deck the Halls with Norman Rockwell. We had a pretty good response, and we had some add-ons afterwards. So we're going to have more than enough material for this evening. So let's go ahead and get started. And I closed the contest. So we've got the winners out there, and
all right.
Hopefully.
Well, we have Weaver on the line, so
I will
bring Weaver on.
Oh,
yep.
My gosh.
Hello,
Weaver.
Hello, my darlings. Happy New Year to everyone.
Oh, same back.
Happy New Year.
My saucy Scott. Good to hear your voice.
Thank you so much.
Good to hear your voice.
Great to be here.
Absolutely. I hear you. Well, you'd probably enjoy it. I have been... I've been celebrating the first part of the new year with a Cary Grant festival. I have been binging on Cary Grant films since New Year's Eve.
Wonderful.
Yeah. You discover how many he made with Ingrid Bergman and how many he made with Irene Dunne and how many he made with Myrna Loy and how many he made with Deborah Carr, So I've been going through everything from the dramas to the screwball comedies. So it's been fun.
Yeah.
It's been fun watching.
We have another.
Yeah. Do we?
We have another caller.
Yes. We do.
I'll bring them on. Hello, area code 915. Who's calling, please?
Hi, everybody. Hi.
It's
hi, Bobby.
Hello,
hi, Gray. Hi, Weaver.
Hi,
Johnny.
I don't know who else is on. I didn't miss anybody. I see Robbie in the group.
Bobby,
hey, Robbie.
Good to hear your voice.
Wow. Girl, I've been going through a lot. Now, I can read, but if the writing is small, I have my eyes dilated, so no can see. But I can comment.
Okay, so anything written with number 3 pencil is okay. Those are those big fat ones.
Yeah,
that like pencils.
I can read that.
It's like writing with a charcoal briquette. Yeah. Okay. Well, my goodness, we have.
I may be hanging up a little bit because I have a cough. I caught a cold. Somebody was sick at the doctor's office and I caught it. So if I hang up, I'll call back. Okay.
Please, whatever you feel you need to do. I know I still have my COVID cough, so so I occasionally have to
Well, that's awful. Sorry to hear that.
So, well, good. Well, great. Well, we've got an audience this time. This is wonderful. Let's go ahead and get started, Gray. Let's crank it up.
All right. So, oh, sorry. We have one by S Sharp.
Okay. So, who are you going to start with?
So, Scott Sharp. Those were the days.
Excellent.
And I'll give that a read.
Sounds interesting.
Okay, sounds marvelous.
Uncle Norman's brush skizzles across this canvas, ice skates on the frozen pond. Life carried on as dog paws scratch, four legs, each a mind of its own, like people on opposite sides of the fence. Cold air meets warm breath, blades on parade, etching circles on the thin ice of daily life, abandoned for a time. Crackling sounds of ice on limbs. Morning sun reaches captured days. Reddened days. Reddened ears. Cold thin layer of snow as Tommy takes a takes a blow. Uncle Norman's brush skizzles across the ice, touching against windows cold, gold, painting smoke rising from the chimney, awaiting their return. End poem.
Okay, now let's get some comments. Weaver, let's start off with you.
Okay, thank you. This is fabulous. It really makes you think about the time when you were on your skates. I never managed to get a frozen pond to skate on, which I've always regretted because we just didn't have that around my area. It was all city. So, yeah, beautiful. It must have been wonderful. I got to go to ice skating rinks. Not so much fun. Yeah, you would think so. Yeah, but it was there, so it was good. Lovely. I really enjoyed this. The reddened ears and the cold, thin layer of snow. I quite like the Tommy Takes a Blow. I would like to have seen that one. Uncle Norman's brush skizzles across the ice. I love, that's another lovely word, skizzles. I'm going to use that at some point in my life. I'm just going to find the right time and place. You don't want to say that in the wrong place. So wonderfully done, and thank you so much. I really enjoyed it, Mr. Sharp.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I have to admit, is that you out there?
Yeah.
Who's our other caller?
We don't have another caller.
Oh, I thought we had Joe, too.
Weaver.
Yes. What did you think of Scott's piece?
Well, you know what I loved about it? It was very nostalgic. So that was what made it so enjoyable. And these were things that, you know, you would see, you know, people who got to go to those ponds that freeze over. I don't know. I'm kind of scared of ponds that are frozen over because I've watched so many people fall into them. It terrifies me. But if you happen to get a good solid ice pond, you know, it was the family things. I really loved that third stanza, because snow, ice, even though they fall silently and they freeze quietly, there is that sound of nature that comes with them. And then I really also, I'm going to kind of repeat the same thing that Katie did, you know, where he talks about, you know, Tommy, you know, hitting a thin layer of snow takes a blow. And then Uncle Norman's brush sizzles across the ice, you know, skizzles, and touching the distant window's gold. Oh, I thought this was beautiful. Touching the distant window's gold, painting smoke rising from the chimney, awaiting their return. And, you know, isn't that, you know, you go out there and you go play in the snow, the cold weather, ice skating, and, you know, you get that nip, and all you can do is thinking about going home and being in front of that fireplace. And a lot of people, what they don't know is that these places that have a lot of snow, they have fireplaces in there, whether, you know, they're the metal ones or the rock ones or brick ones that they built, because the electricity can go out with heavy snow, the lines. So they use the fireplaces to not freeze to death. So I can just imagine, you know, just, I know that when I was up in the mountains, and you know, we went inside, you know, all I wanted to do was sit in front of that fireplace after a fun day of skizzles and, you know, running out in that snow. So this was, you know, very nostalgic and deeply enjoyable. I'll call back.
Okay.
And Gray.
All right.
You read it.
Yes.
What were your thoughts?
I thought it was fantastic. It had a Norman Rockwell type feel to it when you read it. You know, he painted the picture with his words as Norman would have done with his brush. I thought it was beautifully written and a pleasure to read it. So thank you for sharing, Scott.
Yeah, I agree with, was that Naomi Serra that was commenting? Was that Naomi?
No.
Who's our other caller?
Louie.
Who's our
Weaver.
Other caller? Weaver. No.
Louie
well,
and Weaver.
Who is?
Louie.
Oh, Louie.
Louie, wild though.
Yes, I didn't recognize. It's been so long since I heard her voice. I'm ashamed I do recognize it. Yeah, I agree with her comment about the nostalgia. Very, very nostalgic. She's right with the where the ice covers the trees. You get that sometimes. You get that groaning from the trees that as the ice weighs down the limbs. But it definitely paints a wonderfully nostalgic picture. It made me remind the very first time I was on skates, and I wish I still had them because they were training skates. They actually had two blades under them. Instead of a single blade, they were kind of strapped. They were strapped like the roller skates. You strap them onto your shoes. And we had a reservoir out behind our house, and that was the very first time I went ice skating with my father, was out on that frozen reservoir. So I hadn't thought about that in a long time. And I even remember that the skates had red leather straps on them. So that's how far back this piece took me. So great piece, Scott. Thank you for sharing that with us. All righty, who's next?
Yeah. So next we have Time of Wonder, Joy, and Love by My Angels 3. And who would you like to read that?
Oh, let's see. We haven't heard Weaver's voice in a while. Let's have Weaver read, please.
Okay. I would have thought that was a good thing, but here we go.
Nah. Oh, as my friend says, go on with it now.
I love it. I can't do any accents except my own. Oh, wonderful. Okay, serious. Serious face on now. Here we go. Serious face. I can do this, I've been told. Right. A time of wonder, joy, and love. Christmas is not just about material possessions. That can be bought from a store. It encompasses the intangible and sentimental things that we hold dear in our hearts. It is about longing for moments, magic, nostalgia and love that we associate with this particular time of year. Christmas is about the warm and fuzzy feelings we experience when we reminisce about the past and the excitement and anticipation we feel for the future. It is about the kisses shared under the mistletoe, the laughter and joy we share with families and friends, and the sense of togetherness that we feel during this holiday season. Christmas is also about the melancholy that comes with the passing of time, the starry skies that remind us of the wonder and beauty of the universe, and the hope and optimism we hold for the future. All these things together make Christmas a truly magical and unforgettable experience. End poem.
Lovely read. Lovely read.
Thank you.
Okay. Gray, start the comments, please.
Sure. You did a fantastic read of that, Weaver. And, you know, I like the poem. It captures all the elements that make Christmas what a Christmas should be. The excitement and anticipation we feel for the future. Devout kisses shared under the mistletoe. Laughter and joy we share with family and friends. And a sense of togetherness that we feel during this holiday season. You know, I mean, that's what Christmas is all about. It's the love, not the gifts that make it Christmas a Christmas. So it was beautiful and a great read, Weaver.
I agree. It was. It is a very heartfelt, philosophical introspective on all the emotions that the holidays are very, very emotional time because you're seeing family that you don't see most of the time, or friends that you don't see, or you're remembering past experiences. We get the excitement of the holidays, but also the melancholy that comes from remembering past holidays and how much more simple they seem to be, and how there were people there with us that are no longer among us. You miss family that's gone and friends that are gone. But it was a lovely narrative and nicely done. Okay, and Louie is still offline, I guess. I guess
yes.
Louie is still offline. Okay. So
yes,
who have we got? Okay. Okay, so who we have next?
Well, Weaver hasn't commented yet.
Oh, yes, she has. Oh, no, you haven't.
Oh, she
I'm
did?
Sorry.
No, I didn't.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. Let's just pretend I did, and we shall carry on.
No.
Oh, damn. I'm getting away with it there. No
nice
problem.
Try.
Yeah, I nearly did it. I nearly should have shut up. You know, anyway, I thought this was wonderful. I enjoyed this so much. But the thing that I have to honestly say here is that, yes, adults appreciate Christmas. And adults completely agree that material possessions do not matter a jot. We know this. But a child?
Yeah.
Oh, completely different.
Oh,
that
yes.
child is only interested in just give me the present.
Oh, yes.
And that's all they want to know about. So, yes, when they grow up, they will appreciate the years that passed that they enjoyed. But, yes, and I think this is very, very well shown in this particular poem. I really enjoyed it. And, yes, it's sad because it's at particular times of the year that we remember those that we no longer have with us, and obviously that's the side of it. Yeah, and
especially if they were instrumental in making those days special. My grandmother would always she would make homemade kielbasa. She'd always make the Christmas dinner. My father would always tell the gifts that were from my father. Because they were either wrapped professionally, or they were stapled. They were in manila envelopes that were stapled shut and marked with marking pen. Under the tree, you know. And he just, you'd always tell that was Dad because it was in a manila envelope, you know. and my dad used to remark around the holidays. He'd look and. My family would always start, as soon as they got gifts, they would stick them under the tree. So there was no hiding stuff around the house because, you know, Bobby knew that Mom and Dad were Santa Claus. So, but I remember my father used to look at Christmas morning and he'd say that it looked like 12 children lived there because there were so many presents for me under the tree and I was an only child.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, my mom would go all out. Yeah, I mean, one year I got like 5 or 6 mohair sweaters and skirts to match. And
when I was in
grade school, like 7th and 8th grade. You know, and you remember all those wonderful things that you treasured and you had such fun playing with when you were. But you're right. To the children. It's all about the gifts under the tree, and as you get older, you start realizing that that's just part of it.
Yep.
So, anyway, all right, great comment. Thank you. All righty, who have we got next?
Next, we have Norman Rockwell Christmas by Betty Page.
Okay, And I will, whoops, I've lost my page here. Hang on a second. My tab went away. Okay, there we go. Better. Okay, here we go. And I will tag that. I'll channel Betty here. Okay. Norman Rockwell Christmas. Christmas time is here, celebrating with loved ones, bringing gifts of love. Joyful carolers singing sweetly, he is born on this Christmas Eve. Children sled down hills, build snowmen, have snowball fights late into the night. Ice skaters twirl round in this happy kind of town, neath town's Christmas tree. Shimmering as stars, colorful decorations, shining neath a full moon. Lovers ride and sleigh, white horses prance round our town, magical evenings. Mistletoe kisses, warm, cozy fires ablaze as we cuddle up. Mama's making pies. We enjoy our Christmas feast, sweet, fancy desserts. Champagne, fine cocktails, children sleeping in their beds, dreaming of candies. Sentimental joy, toys, cherishing all their treasures opened in stockings. Gifts on Christmas Day, unravel ribbons and bows, watch happy faces. Take photos and smile. Gentlemen relax a while, smoking on their pipes. Off in the kitchen, ladies cook our favorite brunch. Bacon, eggs, hash browns, potluck, full of foods. All kinds of homemade dishes, bakery favorites. Assorted candies, cinnamon apples, mint pears, lush seas chocolates. We all gather round, pray for our New Year's blessings as a family. We toast our wishes, we're embracing each other, love illuminates. Melodically say, Merry Christmas, I love you, and I love you too. End poem.
Beautiful read, Bobby.
Thank you.
What did you think, Weaver?
Oh, yes. Beautifully read, Bobby. I really enjoyed that. And it's, again, nostalgia. It's a wonderful thing. And, you know, we all have those wonderful memories. And it's things like this that allow people to communicate. I'm sorry. There's an awful loud noise on the line. I don't know if anybody else can hear it. But
yeah, I don't know where it's coming from either.
No, it's very. But, so just excuse me if I feel sound a bit flustered. It just kind of comes out of nowhere. Okay, back to what I was saying, whatever that was. Shimmering stars, colorful decorations, shining neath full moon. There is nothing lovelier than the full moon's rays on snow. Beautiful, it really is. It just dances. So yes, I think this is very well written, and it really is evocative. It's just, you want to sit in front of a nice cozy fire and smell the Christmas feast being made. So very well done. Thank you so much for sharing.
Absolutely. Excellent comment, Eber. And yeah, I thought it was fabulous. I mean, you know, she captured all the beauty that Christmas is, you know, shimmering in stars, colorful decorations, shining neath the full moon, lovers ride in sleigh, white horses prance around in our town, magical evenings, Christmas kisses, warm cozy fires ablaze as we cuddle up. You know, it really paints a Rockwell-ish picture, which is a beautiful thing to be able to do with words. So great job, Betty. Thank you for sharing. What did you think, Bobby?
Agreed. She's at all high points of the holiday season, all the things that we really look forward to, the special dinners. My grandmother was Polish, and so she would always make around the holidays, she would make babka, which is a very a heavy egg-heavy bread with raisins. And that was something we all really look forward to. I remember my dad would cut like an inch thick slab of this bread and just slather butter on top of it, and that was the real treat. And she'd all the food on the table that was everything she made for us, and she always made everybody's favorite things. So it was and we were a tiny family. There were only like five of us, and so it was a special get together for all of us. But you get all of the toys, and you can look at things and remember the Christmases past with them. And I still have some of my book of Christmas stories with me, even in my library now. So I keep that with me. I look at it, once a year just to remind myself of what it was like. So, yeah, it was great piece, reminding us of all the things that make the season special. And, great small details that come together to make the cherished memories that we have at this time of year. Okay, who's next?
Welcome back, Liu.
Hi, great. Hi, everybody. Sorry.
No.
Hi. I've got to say, Betty wrote in her what she chose. What this was: magic, fantasy, and love. Not everybody gets to have this type of Christmas, and I want to send out hugs to people who have difficulty at this time because of their lives. But this is something, whether we had it in our life or we wish for it. We wish to have, this the gift of love of everything. And some things we can find during the holidays that we did have, whether we had a bad upbringing or not, or a family situation where we could not have this type of stuff. But children, their hearts are full of joy, and in the wintertime, just to go outside and slide in the snow and have snowball fights, that is something that, that all children of all types can enjoy. And then, sometimes the decorations they had weren't on the tree inside. Sometimes it was nature, what they saw outside and the trees and the beautiful snow, like shimmering as stars, colorful decorations, shining neath, under a full moon. So, that is something that everybody could enjoy. And then also, whether parent, they have money or not, they always try to make something homemade for a child. And I really like that point, it's not like it is today where everything is bought in a store and already cooked and halfway made. There was a time when everything was homemade. So when you had breakfast, there was the bacon, eggs, and hash browns, and then at dinner time, the different dishes, and then whatever little candy delights. In fact, I don't know if I read it in a poem. You have to excuse me. I think I read it in a poem. One of the people in the holiday poem said that their mother couldn't afford the fancy chocolates in the store, that she would put dye on sugar cubes, and that was their treat and their delight. So families always find ways to try, making paper chains. If you can't afford decorations and popcorn, there's always a way that they try to bring delight for children. And this just was just beautiful.
Good point. Great point.
Absolutely.
Beautiful comment. While you were commenting, it made me remember that my childhood, this time of year, I tend to reminisce about my childhood Christmases, because now I'm alone, and so Christmas to me is just another day. And so I tend to sit and reminisce, and I watch my favorite Christmas holiday films and remember what it was like to be with my family. And so I was fortunate to have a lovely childhood and wonderful Christmases to remember, because I don't have them anymore. just another day of the year. The next 25th of December. It could be worse. I got a roof over my head. I've got wonderful friends. I've got people who care about me. So it's just, but it's not it's not like it was when I was a child, you know. And it's funny that you mentioned that. I remember one Christmas, and my parents always slept with the window open. And I, of course, being the child, I got up early, and I was up ahead of everybody, which was just my parents, basically. And I'm sitting in the living room waiting for everybody else to get up Christmas morning because I'm wanting to open gifts. And who comes in to the living room with the Christmas tree in it but a little sparrow comes flying in to the living room and lands on the Christmas tree. And he found his way into my parents' through the window and flew into my parents' bedroom and flew into the living room. Christmas morning, so I woke my parents up, and my dad very gently caught him and let him back outside because he was crying. But yeah, we had our little Christmas visitor that morning. A little sparrow came in for Christmas morning and landed in the Christmas tree. And I hadn't thought of that in years. And I was a wee child. So
that's a good memory.
Wow.
And it's totally like
cool.
It brings that back. It's poetry like this, it brings it back. So, who else have we got? We got plenty to go.
Well, we have a recording by Stelina called Kate E. Partners, so play that.
Lay it on us.
Let me fiddle you a song from the old country to get your feet to tapping, to worm the cockles of your heart while at the window Jack Frost's a-rapping. The rhythmic beat of the barren will set your limbs on fire. It'll fill your heart with Yuletide cheer, raising your spirits higher. There's nothing quite like a rose in Irish air to chase away the wintry blues, to warm the blood and flush your cheeks and breathe life into your dancing shoes. So take your partners for a twirl neath the verdant Christmas fair. With twinkling lights and candles aglow, moulin pipes will cause a stir. The sea may rage and the wind blow bleak, but the music makes the eyes shine and chases away the heavy hearts along with a mug of mulled wine. For the beloved old tunes are the best, even children and wee doggins can't resist. The music of our land will live for many a year, as precious memories by melodies are kissed.
Beautifully read.
Wasn't that delightful? And she's got got a little video clip. She's got a little video clip at the bottom of her poem of a couple of sets of legs doing Irish dancing. So, how marvelous. So let's hit the comments, Jordan, Joe.
All right, Weaver, what did you think of the poem?
As usual, she never, ever fails to give us something wonderful and interesting, our Stelina. I liked it a lot. I liked it. I liked her accent, too.
What accent?
Yay! She did very well. But I thought it was just, it does warm the cockles of your heart, unless you're stone cold hearted like I am. It really is lovely. It was so good. I always enjoy what she produces for us. We're very lucky. And this is another one that you could put in a little memory bank somewhere and enjoy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, lovely. Thank you so much, Selena.
Well, this was the gold winner. So, and rightfully so. I mean, this was a delightful rhyming cultural treat for this of seasonal illustrations and prompts. It was joyous, rousing, and festive. Had everyone on. You know, you see everyone dancing with traditional dances and having good cheer. It's kind of holiday remembrances. You picture the perfect holiday celebration to be. So it's a brilliant piece of writing.
Absolutely. And Lou, did you get to hear that?
Yes, I did. You know, I thought this was absolutely beautiful. She deserved the gold medal. You know, my father liked to play Irish music during Christmas. And, you know, I remember him sitting there. He would, you know, get a glass of something. I don't know what it was. And, you know, out of the crystal container and sit down and listen to the music. And I remember him tapping his feet. And another thing that I liked about this, you know, each country has its own traditions and cultures. And here in Ireland, you know, they don't put Christmas lights. They put those little Christmas candles, and they will light the tree like that. Here they use paper bags, and they put candles in them, and, you know, the traditional Catholic. And they wind it all the way up. They call this road here, we call Scenic Drive, which is a very curvy mountain that's cut, and you can drive up in its tight curves, you know, and they line the whole road with these candles. So I really, she went traditional. It was enjoyable. I liked, there's nothing quite like a roaring Irish air to chase away the wintry blues, to warm the blood and flush your cheeks and breathe life into your dancing shoes. So we better Irish goes a long way.
True. Very true.
Great accent.
Thank you, Gray.
You're welcome. Okay, so I'm going to post the next one here. And this is by Rima. And I'll post that in there. All right, so we have Running Late by Ima Rima. Who would you like to read that, Bobby?
Oh, okay. Lou, do you feel up to it?
Yes, I would do, because it's short.
Okay.
I volunteer.
Great. Thank you, dear.
Running Late by Ima Rima. December 24th, the day, the calendar on the wall shone. Just a short while, I meant to stay, resting in a chair on my own. But I doggone if it, I didn't fall asleep while resting in the chair and snoozing through the hours all the lateness I was not aware. But then the missus yelled at me that I slept through the 24th, and now the 25th it be, and I was stuck in the north. I've got no time to waste because children depend on Santa Claus. End poem.
Well done. Nicely done. Nicely done. Okay. Gray, you want to start the comments off?
Sure. I could picture Santa Claus falling asleep, you know, sleeping through the 24th all the way to the 25th and waking up and, oh, my goodness, I got to get in that sleigh and go. And, you know, he was still stuck in the north. So I thought it was fantastic, whimsical, right? With, you know, you could picture the events happening. It was great. Thank you for sharing, Rima, and excellent read.
Okay, Weaver.
All right, thank you very much. That was lovely. It was beautifully done, Lou. Most enjoyable.
Thank you.
Now I see why that year I only got an apple and an orange. And I didn't believe my mother. Ah, dear. I called her everything. Oh, well, never mind. She was telling me the truth, goddammit. Oh, yeah, I thought this was lovely. So whimsical and so sweet. And so well written, really enjoyable. I thought it was stuck in the north. Oh, I love it. Can you just imagine? Anyway, yes, very well done. But now you've given parents ideas everywhere. Next year it'll be a case of, oh, I'm sorry, darling, but Santa Claus fell asleep. So here's an apple and an orange.
Lulu, what did you think of this?
what I liked about this was it was a teaser. Okay? Because if you read the title and you start reading this, you don't realize it, who's fallen asleep in the chair until towards the end. So I thought this was cute. It had that little bite of suspensefulness in it. And I just loved it because, of course, Mrs. Claus has got to tell Santa Claus he's been a bad boy.
Agreed. Agreed. It's a charming interpretation of that particular prompt. This brevity offers a glimpse of a tardy Santa nature's holiday deliveries. I think that was part of the year that he had the subcontract to UPS and FedEx to get it all done.
Yeah.
So well done. Well done, Ima. Very, very nicely done. Great brevity. Okay, let's continue to march.
Okay, so we have Santa Claus in Training by Pam Ray.
All righty, I guess it's my turn. Let's see. Unless you gave us a SoundCloud. Santa Claus in Training by Pam Ray. He's training to become Santa Claus when he grows up, when he grows into a man. Because Santa, he's important and has many adoring fans. He stuffs his pants with pillows, practices his ho-ho-ho's. Because when Santa decides to retire, this boy will be ready to go. He wakes up in the early morning and stares in the looking glass and prays to baby Jesus his white beard will grow in fast. Other kids want to become doctors, astronauts, sheriffs, and cowboys. But he just wants to be Santa and give children sweets and toys. He tells his mother he must practice by eating lots of cookies and milk. Milk and cookies. And she tells him, eat your turnip, son, and don't get pushy. Don't be getting pushy. He pouts just a wee little bit with a smile, gulps his dinner down, knowing even Santa listens to his mama and never, ever wears a frown. He wonders if he'll get his own reindeer or keep the ones that Santa has. Perhaps it's time to become more modern and get a sleigh that runs on gas. He loves the idea of giving gifts, but not going down the chimney and crashing to the floor. He thinks perhaps when he becomes Santa, he'll just knock on the front door. He's praying and he's hoping he'll grow into this most important role. But right now, no matter how much he tries, his belly just won't shake like it's jelly in a bowl. Yes, someday he'll be Saint Nick and spread a bunch of Christmas joy. But it's Christmas Day with treats and toys. So today he's very happy that for now he's just a boy. End poem.
Beautifully read, Bobby. What did you think, Eva?
Well, I think this chap's got his head screwed on correctly. I mean, let's face it. What kind of a job? You only have to work one day a week, a year. One day a year. Oh, very good. I'll have that myself.
Yeah.
I'll grow a beard.
The prep time is a killer.
Yeah, true. But then what are elves for? What they're there for, to do the toiling and the struggling. Sounds like my life, actually. Anyway, beautifully done. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was so cute. It really was. It was just, you can just imagine a child thinking these things, you know, looking at baby Jesus and hoping his beard will grow and thinking that by now Santa should have something a little bit better than the one with reindeers, a gas one. I think that would just be what a young child or a young boy would think, wouldn't he? Let's get everything better, faster.
Yeah.
And I'm not coming down those rotten chimneys. I'm knocking on the door, like the way he thinks. So, yeah, beautifully done. Very enjoyable. Thank you so much for sharing.
Agreed. Agreed.
Absolutely. Great comment. But, you know, I enjoyed this.
Go ahead, Greg. I'm sorry.
I enjoyed the storyline. You know, you could picture this kid fluffing his pants with pillows and imagining that his belly's shaking and just wanting to be Santa Claus, you know, you know, to have that one day of work a year. And I thought it was a beautiful, beautiful write. And you did an excellent read of it as well, Bobby.
Thank you.
So thank you for sharing, Ken. And welcome back to you.
Hi, Greg. You know, what I loved about this, that this was adorable. It was cute because you could just see this child, you know, primping to be Santa Claus in training. You know, and Pam did such wonderful, you know, talks about how he wants to give children toys and sweets. And then he, you know, I liked, this was just, you know, just like a mom. He tells his mother he must practice by eating lots of milk and cookies. She tells him, eat your turnips, son, and don't you be getting pushy. He pouts just a wee little bit. And with a smile, gulps down his dinner, knowing that Santa listens to his mama. So this is a good story for all children, to please listen to your mama. Oh, this was just so cute. I also got a big kick out of how he doesn't want to go down the chimney because he's going to crash on the floor, you know. But, of course, everybody knows that Santa has a little bit, a wee bit of that Tinkerbell dust, so he, you know, comes down the chimney just fine. And I got a big kick of that he wants to ring the front door. So this is, you know, the wishes of a child. And, you know, and she takes us through the entire story of him practicing and his daily life, and she makes it enjoyable to listen to.
Absolutely. Great comment, Lee. And Bobby, what did you think?
I think it's great. It's Pam. It's Pam mm-hmm. at her best. It's great storytelling. She does. She's a great storyteller. She takes this prompt and she builds this wonderful backstory into this illustration. It creatively embroiders it with the young boy's thoughts and his aspirations for his future role as Santa. So it's a really wonderful storytelling and nicely done, and I'm so very glad that she submitted it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was our bronze winner.
Oh, fabulous.
Awesome. So next we have A Cold Christmas by Naomi Sarah.
Okay, Weaver, I think
and who would you like
turn.
To read that?
Okay, gotcha. Oh, we don't have a sound card. I would have loved to have heard her read it. Okay,
mm-hmm.
I'll do my feeble best. Here we go. I can't do her accent. I'm terribly sorry. But no problem. Probably understand me best. Right, oh, let's go. The old truck rattled and rumbled as it plowed through the heavy snow. Oh, come on, Paula growled impatiently. You would get this darn tree to her house, even if she had to pull and yank it all the way there herself. No way that Mrs. Patterson across the street would have her tree up before hers. Already that old bag had put up those huge atrocities in her front yard that were supposed to look like some sort of Christmas balls. So cheap and out of fashion, Paula snorted. She would never put up an eyesore like that. She was going with the latest Christmas trends, as usual. This year it would be all baby blue and satiny silver. Oh, she just couldn't wait to show them all. She dragged the tree from the back of the still-groaning pickup, then stopped to watch the bustling around of family and friends through a neighbor's window. Paula shrugged. Guess they are all already partying. Well, that will sure mess up their house fine, and just before Christmas at that. She dragged the tree onto the porch and entered the house, then shook off her coat and boots and ran to get the mop to wipe away any trace of melted snow. Had to keep the place all spick and span, just in case. Yep, just in case the kids did decide to change their plans and come down this year. When everything was tidied up, she popped down onto the couch and switched on the TV. Oh, for heaven's sake. Not another Christmas movie, she sighed, as she lit up a long, slim cigarette. The smoke hugged her before snaking its way to the ceiling, her only companion on this snowy December night. A train whistled from across the fields, probably filled to the brim with screeching kids, screaming babies, and parents going half crazy. Paula grunted. The house suddenly seemed cold as she shuddered and pulled the wool blanket tighter around her shoulders, crushed out her cigarette, and leaned over to pull another from the pack. End poem.
Beautifully read, Weaver. And Lee, what did you think of the poem?
Well, I think Katie did a fabulous job in reading this, and Naomi knocked this out of the park. Here it was. I kept waiting for this lady to say, "Bah, humbug," like the Scrooge, "Bah, humbug," in between all of this complaint, because all she did was, just like the Scrooge, everything that she saw or had to deal with was something that was just unbearable and had to do with Christmas. And everybody was too gouty, you know. And then in the end, she realizes, which I don't think she even realizes yet, is that she's alone just like the Scrooge during Christmas time. You know, so this was a fantastic take on the Scrooge and the old painting that she wrote for. This was just excellent. I really enjoyed this.
Great comment, Lou. And I enjoyed the rate, you know. It starts out quite, you know, light and fluffy and then ends up kind of sad and tragic. But, you know, she did a great story of telling that sadness and the loneliness that some people have in their life. And, you know, like you said, bah humbug. But, you know, I thought it was fantastically written and an excellent read as well. What did you think, Weaver?
Oh, I enjoyed reading it so much. Well done, Naomi. You did it so beautifully. The good thing about someone who can write as well as she can is you have a naturalness of it. It just flows, and you can put your little comment in the way you want to, because it's so obviously what it should be. So it just, I don't know if that makes any sense to anybody but me, but basically it reads itself, as it were, because you know where you're going with it and how you know how you can or can't emphasize that certain things. I find it difficult sometimes with reading, because I don't read them before. It's because I may start off all light and bright and then suddenly realize this is a really sad one. You know, so I've now got to go into a less happy sounding voice. But this one was great. This one led me through all the way, and I loved it. I just loved it. I know these people. Mm-hmm. I have met that woman, you know, and I've slapped her. So well done. Well done, Naomi. It was wonderful. I'm so glad you shared that with us. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Great comment, Weaver. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
Oh, I concur. It was definitely an offering of the humbug side of this holiday season, and how unfestive it could be for someone alone. I mean, with everything draped in colored lights and grounded in holiday music, here's a poor soul who can only endure the season and not celebrate it and have some, and just look for some respite from the loneliness until she has to gird herself for the time, this time of the year, next November. It's people, some people to holidays are not to be enjoyed, they're to be suffered through. And they said that statistically there's more suicides around the holiday season than any other time of the year. And you see why? Because if you are alone, it becomes oppressive. And all you are, you're constantly turning to reminders. I mean, everything's saturated with the holiday season and everywhere you go. I used to hate going to the store because you're constantly playing Christmas music, and I want to run screaming from the store because of all the goddamn Christmas music. You become inundated and super saturated with it for a while, and it almost takes the sparkle out of the season because you're constantly getting flogged with it. And it seemed like it seems to every year it starts earlier.
It starts early.
It's starting now. I think I saw Thanksgiving. I think I saw around Halloween I saw the Christmas stuff going up. And good heavens, you know, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, I agree.
This is a very realistic rite, and she definitely took us down the other side of the Christmas holidays for the people who are alone. So well written, very, very philosophical point of view. Nicely done.
Absolutely. Great comment, Bobby. So next we have "Twas a Good Night" by Fran Marie.
Okay. Who do we have to? Let's see. You haven't read in a while. You feel like you can channel us?
Yeah, sure. No problem. All right. "Twas a Good Night" by Fran Marie. "'Twas the night before Christmas, and I was feeling no pain. The brimmed Scotch pine gloss glistened. Outside, it was pouring down rain. I had no idea where my wild family went, probably out Walmart until our last dollar was spent. Downright hungry, after drinking Scotch on the rocks, I stumbled to the kitchen to raid the bread box. And what to my red bloodshot eyes should I see but a scale slice of fruitcake staring back at me? I threw it away in a flash, continued for looking for other food stash. Then I discovered in the cupboard, high on a shelf, a jolly fat cookie jar shaped like an elf. Without hesitation, I threw open the lid with anticipation of an eager old kid. Oh, I thought, in spite of my silly self, I'll eat every cookie, leave none on the shelf. That cookie jar was red, inviting, and merry. But once inside, 'twas nary. Not even one left of me. The elf-shaped jar was as empty as could be. Delirious from hunger, visions of my family out having fun. My old head did roam, probably at McDonald's by now, while I'm hungry, alone, hungry as a cow. Just then I heard in the driveway a car, and its muffler did roar. 'Twas my merry old family coming home from the store. Their arms plumb full of presents for all. I knew at a glance they'd done bought out the mall and brought me a Big Mac in their stacks. Oh, how nice. I gobbled them down and didn't think twice. We cared and shared this cheerful glee with the holiday spirit of a loving family, and everything turned out all right. Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night." End right.
Nicely done. Nicely done. Well, it seemed like it was a bit of a parody on The Night Before Christmas, but we got a humorous, whimsical tale of the lone family member who decides not to go Christmas shopping, only to find out there's nothing to eat in the house, and they don't want to go out. Wonderful storytelling. You can hear the Bor. Everyone knows what Bor Bergma is, right? All right, everybody who doesn't know what Bor Bergma, raise your hand. All right, Bor Bergma.
I know.
Yeah, Bor Bergma is the growling and rumbling sounds that your stomach makes when you're hungry. That's Bor Bergma.
I just heard that from my belly.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and those poor, desperately Bor Bergmic echoes of this desperately hungry holiday elf hoping the family brings dinner home with them. Very clever, right? Very clever. I thoroughly enjoyed this. Lou, what did you think? Uh-oh, she's mutating. Okay, Weaver, are you out there?
She is.
Yes, I am.
What did you think, dear?
Oh, I thought it was brilliant. As you say, that it must have been a parody or meant to be a parody, but it was so well done. You can imagine that has got to be a gentleman who doesn't normally do any cooking, has no idea where any of this food is kept. I'll just go straight to the jar that should have the cookies. Oh, blimey, none. So you poor man. I feel so sorry for him. But yes, I thought it was excellent. And when I said, clever, right. And I can just imagine that being a scenario that would happen. But at least he got his Big Mac, which means his family does, his family does care for him after all. So
they didn't want him to die. So it's got to either be a teenage, an older teenage son or a grandfather.
Right, got you. Yeah, either one of those. Definitely would be acting.
Neither one of which, neither one of which are cooks.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. Yeah.
I loved it.
Great.
And Lou, what did you think of the poem?
Well, I thought this was hilarious. It was well written. It caught what normally goes on today. Everybody goes to Walmart, the majority of people do, to get the blue light, black light, what is it, black light specials? It's not blue light anymore. You know, to get those specials and, you know, and then, you know, of course, he's been drinking and he's, you know, he says, and what to my red bloodshot eye should I see but a stale piece of fruitcake staring back at me. That cracked me up. So he threw it away because, you know, either you like fruitcake or you don't. And then, you know, what I liked was then he saw the cookie jar. And what happened was what I liked about this, that red, glorious cookie jar speaking to him, eat me, eat me. And what is it? And his greediness, he decided he was going to eat all the cookies if he could get into the jar. And lo and behold, what happened? He opened the lid. And there was nothing in it. No cookies. So that cracked me up. So then he realizes the family finally comes home. And, of course, now they have presents. But the thing that he most wanted most of all, just like Santa's eating the milk and cookies, he got his McDonald's. And, you know, that just cracked me up. I'm sure he got his Big Mac special. And he enjoyed every single bite and enjoyed the presents. But, you know, Elisha says, I gobbled them down and didn't think twice, you know. And then, of course, she ends it. And Merry Christmas to all and to all a good night. You know, I can just smell Big Mac in the air and French fries. Fabulous home.
Absolutely. Great comment, Lee. And I thought the write was fantastic. I mean, you know, it had an excellent flow and rhythm to it. It really captured the imagination with somebody sitting there drinking a scotch, getting hungry, while the family's out shopping, buying at the mall. And then, you know, you go to the cupboard and there, high on the shelf, a jolly fat cookie jar shaped like an elf. Without hesitation, I threw open the lid with anticipation of an eager old kid. Oh, I thought, in spite of my silly self, I'll eat every cookie, leave none on the shelf. That cookie jar was red, inviting, and merry. Once inside, well, 'twas nary, not even one left for me. The elf-shaped jar was empty as could be. I thought that was fantastic. And then, you know, the family shows up with their arms full of presents, and they bought Big Macs and their sacks. How nice. They gobbled them down and didn't think twice. You know, it was very humorous. I loved the pace and the theme, the right. And, yeah, it was brilliant. So, great job.
All right.
All right, so next we have Them Their Family Values by Rock. Them Their Family Values Rock by DOC.
Oh. Someone's coming to get you.
You're coming.
Yeah.
Great. Can you mute me while they're reading? Well,
yeah.
I don't disturb the poem.
All right. So who would you like to read this, Bobby?
I guess I'll read. It's my turn, I guess. Them, Their Family Values Rock. I sure does take into Gramps and Granny Hip. Yet cottoning to the chores of daily life in Norm's right purdy picture painted thick of family gatherings with a carving knife. Them hick folks still each Christmas come round to sup on turkey vittles, all quick bless as Tom slow simmers in his juices ground, while Slick, Brick, Dick, and Hick Hick talk success.
And oh my gosh, what mouths them mouths beget, and geez, that there was being one big roasting pan, and Jiminy Cricket seventh helpings yet. And dang, just get a load of that clogged can, and good old Rock done painted life real true, and then gone off of catching fish to stew. And poem.
Great job, Bobby. What did you think, Weaver?
I think I'm very glad I wasn't asked to read this. Wow! I mean, that was very well done, Bobby. It's like a foreign language. I'm now need an interpreter.
Yeah,
wonderful. So clever. So damn. Honestly, these people are just so clever. Love them to bits. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh, what a mouth them mouth they get. And, gee, that there'd be one big roasted pan. I liked it. I liked it a lot. It was very clever, very... can't have been easy to do, if I'm honest, but I thought this was done excellently, Jiminy Cricket and all. So very well done, and I'm so glad you shared that with us, Doc.
Great comment. Thank you, Weaver. And Louie Wilde, what did you think?
I got a big kick out of listening to Bobby read this. This was just fabulous. I really liked, you know, he simply states, them their family values Rock. And, you know, and I did like the point that he made here by painting Rock 101, that each year 3 million children die slowly in part of salvation, even during holiday season. So I want to thank him for bringing that out. So, you know, if you can, feed a family. You know, and what I really, and then he goes into his poem, which is utter delight. I liked where he said, them hick folks and each Christmas coming round to sup on the turkey vittles and all quick bless as Tom slow simmers and his juices drowned, while Slick, Brick, Dick, and Hick Hick talk success. Oh my gosh. What them mouth bigot. You know, this cracked me up because my family, you know, hails from the South. You know, part of my family does. And, you know, that deep country type of talking, you know, that they speak of. And, you know, you can live in the United States and you go up, you know, up north and they park the car. You know, you go down south, park your car. You know, it's just, you know, even in the United States, we have different versions of English that is spoken in different dialects. And this was spoken in a southern dialect, and it was fun. And I so enjoyed listening to Bobby just get out there and just let us know how them folks eat.
Absolutely. And Bobby, what did you think?
Well, if someone goes to the effort of writing a piece with dialect, then I try very hard to respect that, because I've done a couple of pieces myself that way. I did a Halloween piece about a haunted house, and I did a Cajun accent in my writing, and it's difficult because you're trying to convey an accent on paper, and it's very challenging. So I tried very much to respect the way it was written, and the humor with which it was. And you're absolutely right. You can different parts of the country. There's an old, I don't know if this is apocryphal or what, but there's a story about a gentleman from another country who was on a merchant ship with and he didn't speak English well, and so he was bunked with a Texan who was teaching him English. And their first port of call was New York. And the Texan had to translate English to English because the gentleman who was a foreign-born did not understand the New Yorkers at all. And it's very true. With you get into some other parts of the country, like the Appalachians, especially around Louisiana, in that area, you get into some very very specific dialects that are absolutely they're absolutely fascinating find where these come from and the different origins of them. And you're right. You get the New England accent, you get the Mid-Atlantic accent, you get the Southern accent, you've also got the Southwestern, you got the Midwest. It is fascinating, and it's damn difficult to write. So kudos to Doc for writing this, and it was a very humorous piece. I enjoyed it thoroughly.
Great comment, Bobby. All right, so I posted your poem next. I don't know if you want that, or would you like another one since you just read?
Oh, I don't mind. Let's see. What have I got here? Oh, okay. Let me refresh. Or as my friend says, refresh. Okay, there we go.
Yeah.
Oops. Yeah, okay. That's still not coming up. Oh, there it is. Okay.
I reposted it.
Now, okay, here's a preamble to this piece. This was written about 3 or 4 years ago. But 3 years ago. This was written as a tribute to a friend of mine, a very very close dear friend of mine, whose spousal unit on the holidays drags him to every single social function out there. He's very active in the community, but he ends up going to every single holiday social gathering that his wife can shoehorn into their schedule. And I was listening to him one particular year, and it was just nonstop. And so I wrote this to my friend for him, and he actually contributed a little bit to it. But this is for my friend Wayne and his long-suffering holiday seasons, and it's called Command Performance. Social obligations of the season. Specious reasons to visit people you don't see out the rest of the year. So, what have you been up to? As at the end of each stanza, there is a quote to liven it up here. Host and hostess greet you at the door, and air kisses and awkward hugs are rendered, and alas, nowhere to deposit your coat. Oh, just drop it on the guest bed. Well, surroundings overly festooned and adorned with profuse evidence of the holidays, inherited ancestral decorations, excesses of the season. How lovely, so imaginative. Guests vainly attempt to maneuver about in the gathering while not upsetting any strategically located breakables. Oh, damn, sorry. Surrounded by vacuous smiles, vapid persiflage, and banal banter of friends you aren't really acquainted with. Have we met? Didn't think so. Attempts to mingle are abortive, resulting in a corner armchair as you are resigned to polite conversation with a potted palm tree. Were you here for this last year? Bourbon flowing is a tributary to the river of wine. Guests select their social lubricant or liquid anesthetic of choice. Glasses are always filled. What are you drinking? Care for another? A gastronomic tour de force on platters, piled high, are replenished with astonishing regularity, giving the impression of a never-ending source elves in the kitchen, perhaps, and more excesses of the season. If I took some home, would anyone notice? Elaborate edibles offering edible offerings on fancy trays with fingers to quickly steal a bite or two between superficial conversations. No one will remember tomorrow. Small talk abounds, dreadfully small talk. Someone who believes they can play the piano gets conscripted into their rendition of the popular holiday songs while partygoers bray their own cacophonous accompaniment. Communal caroling, all festive. Crowded into close quarters, space to navigate the throng of guests is virtually non-existent. Claustrophobia is the order of the evening, and you are feeling lightheaded from the lack of oxygen. Forgive me, my dear, was that your fit? Only those experienced in the social dance of false cordiality with subtle nods of the head and furtive eye contact execute the moves with aplomb. Battle-weary social gathering veterans. Pardon me, excuse me, how lovely to see you. Credit, full marks are awarded for being present and conspicuous at the festivities. As the first opportunity presents itself, surreptitious escape is arranged, and a stealthy tactical retreat into the darkness is executed. And just where was my coat? Your coat be damned, where are my shoes? Social commitments payable to obligatory seasonal conviviality have been remitted once more. The gustatory, auditory, and olfactory assaults are at an end, and a temporary torpidity to recover after the new year is prescribed. Tell me again why I keep attending these things. Damned if I know. End poem.
Hey, would you mind reading your office notes, Bobby?
Oh, this is intended to be a satire, a sort of gentle jab at the quaint ritual of holiday parties. I've been held hostage at so many of these holiday soirees, I thought that I'd have a little fun with the topic. Each stanza concludes with a tiny editorial thought by the poor beleaguered partygoer. Happy holidays.
Great, right. You did a fabulous read on that as well, Bobby. But, you know, I enjoyed each little stanza, you know, each, juxtaposition that the partygoer has, you know, and I really like the commentary. So have we met? Don't think so. Didn't think so. Were you here for this last year? What are you drinking? Care for another? If I took some home, would anyone notice? Small talk abounds, dreadfully small talk. Communal caroling, how festive. Forgive me, dear. Was that your foot? Pardon me. Excuse me. How lovely to see you. And, you know, it was just a pleasure to go through this party with you and share these moments. So a fantastic satirical write, and you did a beautiful read on it, Bobby. What did you think, Weaver?
Oh, I thought it was brilliant. Well done. Well done. I really enjoyed it. And I did love the little comments at the end. So well done and calculated, which I enjoy. That's the kind of things that go on in my head. Terrible. But it happens. And luckily, you don't say them out loud. You just stick them. It can be so horrific. I mean, I'm not being nasty at all, because we're all different and we have different breadths and depths and abilities. But people can be so boring. It has to be said. I'm afraid so. There are people, I am sort of like a big ear. People talk to me all the time about everything and things I don't want to even know about. So yeah, I can appreciate how this party, I actually end up wanting to commit suicide when one of my friends comes around for a chat. Oh my God. Oh, she's like an emotional vampire.
So, now, yeah. Katie, you know you love those juicy tidbits.
Yeah, look, I don't have to care. They won't hear them.
Oh, my God. You know you want to run and hide under the blanket or pretend you're the bear blanket and nobody will speak to you. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so I loved it. It was well done. Thank you so much for making
Thank
us
you.
All laugh. Great.
Absolutely. And Leah, what did you think?
I love this poem. You know, like Katie, everybody will come over to me and tell me their entire life, and I'm just like, why? Why? You know, and I believe that Bobby found a way to survive these soirees when you don't like them. The first one is bourbon flowing as a tributary to the river of wine. And you know people, I mean, I think that's all they go there for is the drinks. And then, you know, and then, like you said, guests select their social lubricant of liquid and anesthetic of choice. Glasses are always filled. What are you drinking? Care for another, and that's all you want to do. Yes, I care for another. Shut up. Then the next thing, so you numb your mind. You numb your mind. You don't. They can talk all they want, you know. And then the next thing I found that was number two thing to survive a soiree, elaborate edible offerings on fancy trays. The fingers too quickly steal a bite or two between superficial conversations. No one will remember tomorrow. Small talk abounds. Dreadfully small talk. And see, by the time you get that bourbon and you get the wine and you get a couple of bites of that tray, they people can say whatever they want. That is how you survive.
Yeah.
Oh my.
I've been to these parties where people give they hold them and invite everyone that has a pulse or
that
breath,
you don't know.
That you don't know, and you get invited, especially if they're like a coworker or something. So you've got all these people who don't know there, and you're supposed to go and socialize. And I personally find it, I can hold a conversation. Well, that's why I said you're holding a conversation with the potted palm, you know, in the corner. And which is usually what I end up doing is sitting in the corner with the potted palm because I
me too.
Well, because I find it difficult to hold banal rhetoric, you know, just vacuous persiflage with people that I don't know, and small talk, you know, and it's just it's ridiculous.
Let me ask you. Did you find that they like to gossip also?
Oh God! Oh! The party that comes to mind.
Oh yeah.
Was one where they were my late partner. They were his friends, and we went to this beautiful home, gorgeous home. You know, lots of you know the spread was elaborate. A house full of people. You know, and of course they're showing off their wealth. They had a piano. There was this one couple we ended up being held hostage by, and how I don't know how, you know, conversations take on a life of their own, but somehow they ended up being hypercritical of either someone we knew or someone they knew, where the couple had divorced each of their previous spouses, so they could, and then ended up marrying each other, and then come to find, they were very you know, they're like Christian and all that, and this is wrong, and so, and come to find out that each of them had previously been married and divorced, and I'm thinking I wanted to just spit in their eye. You know, because Tony and I weren't married, and we never did get married, and we, you know, people say, well, how long have you been married? And I said, well, we aren't. You know, aren't you going to get married? And I was like, no, you know, and don't make it sound like we're behind schedule, you know. And I'm not late for anything.
Yeah.
And so, but they're so judgmental. They're so judgmental. metal, and they're so hypocritical. And that's one of the things that I really hate about these gatherings is the hypocrisy and the judgment that they're so busy putting people under a microscope. You know, this is the same. They're the same people. If something happens at the back of the room, everybody turns around. You know, I was talking to one of my teachers about that, and I was remembering a grade school teacher that someone did something in the back of the classroom, and of course, she yelled at them and scolded them, and everybody, all the students turned around, and the first thing she did was she says, "Turn back around." She said that comment wasn't for any of you. That was for so and so. You know, you don't need to be looking at them. And that immediately broke me of that habit of being a looky-loo, you know? And it just goes along with people being so just busybodies. You know, they've got to, you know, they don't feel good.
Got their nose in everybody's business.
Yeah, they're getting dirt on somebody else or judging somebody else. And I've never liked gatherings like that. And, I've never... Fortunately, I haven't been to one in a long time. I don't think you're missing nothing, girlfriend.
I think it's worse now.
My friend gives me reports on them every year. Fortunately, he said this year they did not go to them because his wife is very ill. And so he said there wasn't a lot of socializing this year because they're having their own bit of trauma. But he was the one that contributed the line "Bourbon flowing is a tributary to the river of wine." That was his that was his line.
Wonderful.
Yeah, it is. But that's why I wrote this satire on Christmas on holiday parties. You know, because it just seems like everyone thinks that there's a certain prescribed. You've got to decorate. You know, to all kinds of food and all kinds of alcohol and stuff your house with people, you know, and especially people who don't know each other, and you know, just it gets very uncomfortable and very superficial.
Yeah.
And that's what drove me to write that.
Wow.
Thank goodness you did.
Yeah, great write, Bobby.
Thank you.
All right, so next we have "Christmas Smells" by Naomi Sarah. And who would you like to read that, Bobby?
How do you feel about
there's a recording?
Oh,
I can. I don't know. There's a. She says that there's an audio.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I can try.
I don't see it. I don't see it in the studio.
Okay. I can try. "Christmas Smells" by Naomi Sarah. Christmas smells. As Grandpa sings and Grandma swings, choking and croaking in water-eyed wings, as Grandpa's feet start to stink, Christmas fart smells, as Uncle Joe springs and twists and drinks, dancing and prancing on turkey and gin, as we wily grin. What a night, smelly, all right, to hug and kiss away. Oh, what a sight, oh, what a fright to see Uncle Joe coming to sneeze me, squeeze me tight. Giddy up, dear. Don't trip over your feet. Move out real fast. Mix and mingle in the jingle and flee, because that fart was not his last.
Well done. Well done. Beautifully rendered. Incomparable.
So cool.
Oh my goodness! Gray, what did you think of Naomi's contribution?
Well, you know, I thought Lee's singing was just fantastic. You know, she sang this, which was great. You know, it really brought this poem to life.
He got that Rudolph red nose rubbing up.
Yeah. In my comment, I write, "Oh my God, it's a festive fart fest. Laugh my ass off." But no, I thought it was wonderful, you know, very humorous and deeply engaging. So, yeah, stay away from Uncle Joe that time of year.
Oh, my goodness, Weaver.
Hello.
What did you think of
that? Great. You're going to assign the readers? Hello? I mean, the commenters?
Yeah, I was going to ask Wooluya what she thought of your
okay.
delivery, your rendition of Naomi Sarah's poem.
I love this because what's great about this poem is everybody knows there's always a secret farter in the group. And we all know who it is because nobody wants to sit next to Uncle Joe. Because he drinks, he's merry, and when he gets loose with his goose, it also his intestines get loosey-goosey. So this, I loved the humor in this. I loved that how real it was. That, you know, the socks, you know, aren't so bad. But somebody that has old gas, old, you know, that cannot control it, and then he wants to hug you, and then she, you know, puts at the end, which we all know, not only does he do the loud fart, he does the secret smelly fart. Because she says, mix and mingle and jingle and flee, because that fart was not his last. So there's always that one person, you know, bless their heart, they cannot control their bowel. She did a fabulous job in writing this to a Christmas jingle.
She did. She did a great job. I think she did that to Brenda Lee's Jingle Bell Rock.
Mm-hmm.
Did we lose a Weaver?
No, she's
here. I'm here. Yes, well, I'm sorry, but I think... I'm just a little bit flustered. Wasn't expecting that kind of thing to be said on Christmas or about Christmas. Oh, it was wonderful. It was so funny. Yeah, it was just another... It's, you know, it's nice to have memories. It's nice to have nostalgia, but a little bit of a good laugh never did anyone any harm. So I really thought it was great. Thank you so much, Naomi. It was an enjoy. I would love to have heard her sing it as well, though. Shall we get her next time we catch her?
Yeah,
we'll have to get her to do it, definitely. But she's going to have to go a long way to beat Luyu, but wonderfully done. I loved it. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely. Gray, did you comment?
No, I don't think I did. But I thought it was fantastic. Actually, I did. You know, I thought it was a fart fest, so...
Wonderful, wonderful humor. And you're right, absolutely true, very true. There's always someone, you know, and they claim it's, you know, that's not them, it's a mouse on a motorcycle. So.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, you never heard that one? My father
no.
Used to claim,
no.
Yeah, my father used to claim it was a mouse on a motorcycle.
Oh, that's
written
cute.
By...
Of course, it doesn't smell good, but oh, that is cute. So cute.
It's right up there with the favorite daddy trick or the favorite grandpa trick, pull my finger.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Now, that one I know.
Yeah, I think everybody knows that one.
Yeah. Yeah. You.
Yeah.
Once it's done to you, you never forget.
Never forget. Nope. You never do.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, let's get some more going out here. Who else we got?
So next one is by myself, and it's called Thank You, Mom. I'll give that a read.
Okay.
By the fading light of a waning moon, beneath the echoes of yesterday's screams, I seek the dawn downriver in a meadow of wishful dreams. I pray that my brothers and sisters find happiness upon a breeze that whispers, speaking of how I miss them so, and I love them more than they will ever know. See, one brother passed as a child long ago. The other is missing. His whereabouts we do not know. My sister is alone in her empty nest. She needs to move closer. It would be for the best. Her true home has mountains and lays at the shore of an ocean far to the west. So as I lay myself down to rest, I hold my family not far apart, deep in the blood of my beating heart. The strongest beat is for my mom, for this is the place my love comes from. Thank you, Mom, and home.
Oh, lovely.
Wow. So great. Is this autobiographical?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is.
Wow. The brother, a child missing? Were they abducted?
No, he lives on the streets. He's addicted to drugs.
Oh, golly. That's got to be tough.
Yeah, so.
Especially on the holidays.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, it's when we don't hear from him for a while, it, you know, it gets us going, so.
No, the reason I asked is because my housemate, his oldest brother was abducted.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Yeah, his oldest brother was abducted as a baby by the babysitter.
Oh.
And they just finally located him a couple of years ago. And it was 6 months after he had died.
Oh my God!
Hmm.
Yeah, but they found
wow.
him, and he was living not far from here, and so he's become acquainted with nieces and nephews that he didn't know he had.
Wow!
But he was that's the reason I ask is that not knowing where they are because he said his mother never got over that, her oldest son being abducted.
I imagine so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you know, that baby grows underneath your heart, and
yeah,
you know,
that's a great way of putting
or,
it.
That's sad.
Yeah, but this is such a wonderful tribute to your mom because very often, and I've seen it with my ex-husband, his mom was the glue that held the family together, and once she died, the family just split apart. They all fell apart. Everybody went their own way.
And
sometimes moms are the glue that holds everyone together. So very courageous, right? Very heartfelt. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for the platform.
Louie, what did you think?
And we
were. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Weaver.
Okay, my dear. Yes, my heart goes out to you. Of course it does. It's never easy to recover from something like that, and it takes such a long time. I was the oldest of three girls, and I've lost both my younger sisters to drink, so I can appreciate the heartache. It's just abysmal. And given the way things are, you can't do anything. It's up to the person who's
yep.
going through this to do it themselves. And of course they won't. Why would they? You know, it's not nice. It really is. It's just not, should never be allowed to happen. But we all know it does. We all know some of us are born with that little twist in the mind. And it is. It's nothing to do with anything other than a sickness. That's just the way it is. We know that's what it is. But they just need to find what that little thing is and switch it off. That's what they need to do. That would be the best thing ever. So I really felt so for you. I really did. And it was, as Bobby said, it was a brave thing to share with us. But it also let people know that they're not alone and that other people, you know, do have the same kind of issues. And it does help to know that you're not alone and you know you're not the only person going through it. So thank you for sharing. I actually mean that this time. Thank you for sharing, Grace.
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, we buried my brother on December 24th, which was a hard thing to do. You know, so every year, you know, we're reminded of him. Plus, his birthday was December 31st, which is New Year's. So it's always, you know, it's always a trying time of year for myself, you know, and my mother,
mm-hmm.
and my brother, and my sister.
Yeah. Oh.
But, you know, we carried on and carrying on.
Yeah, I don't believe that old saying about what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. I'm sorry, I do not believe it. I just think if you can get through it, then you are stronger. But it doesn't make you stronger. It's just you that can do that. So anyway, sorry. Carry on.
Well said. Well said.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And Lou, what did you think?
You know, I wanted to comment on something. You know, you cope if you can cope, because many times this breaks people when things like this happen. But, you know, if you're able to take steps to move through it, because the thing with this is the pain never goes away. It is always there.
No.
It, you know, and, you know, this is very beautiful. It's very emotive and emotional that you take us, you know, through your life and the different things that, you know, your families are going through. And, you know, and we always want the best for our siblings and, you know, other members of our family. And, you know, that even though it's not always brought up, those feelings are always there underneath. So this was just a gorgeous rite. And, you know, mothers are a blessing if you got a good one.
Absolutely. Great comment, Lee. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. That some people do never do recover from the injury. My friend, who I wrote the previous poem for, he married a woman who had a son that he was stepfather to, and the young man died in a helicopter crash when he was 32, and he says his wife, that was her only child, and she has never gotten over it. He said it just completely changed her. So it completely changed her. She'd never gotten over the loss of her son.
How do you get that? I mean, you can't. You can't.
Yeah.
But you're right. Wonderful comment. Yeah.
You learn to live with it and get past it. But you don't. You know. Yeah. That pain never goes away. It's like I miss my dad. I miss my grandmother every day. I give everything I own just to have one more hour with each of them. You know. But it's just you just learn to navigate around it and make it part of your daily life.
Mm-hmm.
And you just can't. You do your best not to let it destroy you. So you're absolutely right. Okay, let's continue on, please. Thank you for that for sharing, Gray.
Yeah, no problem. All right, so we have A Home Lit Heart by Pam Ray. Who would you like to read that?
Okay. I want to hear Weaver's voice again.
You mad, crazy fool.
All right, Weaver.
Yes, I know. And you love me for it, don't you?
I do. I get a little glow. And at my age, that's a damn good thing. Okay. Right, again, let's go. Stop it, woman.
You're a darling girl, you are now.
I love that. I love that accent. It's so cool. Thank you very much, Ken. See, it doesn't sound as nice in Scottish. That's awfully good of you.
Okay, I do Scottish, but not as well as I do Irish.
Oh, you do Irish wonderfully. I can't even do Scottish. Scottish is my second.
My father could do dialects like you wouldn't believe.
Oh, I love that. People have got different skills.
I grew up bilingual, so I have an ear, and unfortunately, if I start hanging around with someone who has an accent, I start talking like them.
So do I.
And I had a friend who was Irish, And I'd hang around with him, and about 30 minutes later, I'd start talking to him. I'd say, so where in Ireland are you from? I'm not from Ireland. I'm from Chicago.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Always loved being around him because he had the most wonderful way of declining something. And I never forgot it. He would say, a tempting offer, but thank you, no.
Oh, wow. That's cool. I like that. I'm going to write that down. So nice. They're a lovely, lovely breed, as it were, the Irish. Can you call people a breed? No, I don't think you can you? Sorry, folks. Didn't mean that. A wonderful crowd doesn't sound any better, but okay.
Oh, no,
serious
dog charming.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, serious face, folks. Here we go. Poor Pam. I'm talking all this rubbish over your wonderful poetry. Right, here we go. A home-lit heart with the cutest little bear.
Yes.
A home-lit heart embraced soft fur and karmic lullabies. Joy spread across the giving of time and laughter. Pure peace found in hot cocoa sips. Teddy paws playing the carols of the bells. Spirit soaring in yuletide delights. Beneath an angel-topped pine, trimmed in garlands of popcorn and love. End poem.
Beautiful. Nicely done.
Thank you.
With your wee Scottish lilt.
There'll be no talking about my lilt, thank you very much. I can't help
it. I like the lilt. I like your look. I can listen to you for hours.
Oh, thank you. You know, you wouldn't say that.
No, you read me the phone book later. How's that?
Somebody left me a comment about one of my pieces of poetry and said, you have a very soothing voice. You reminded me of my aunt. Oh, and your poem was good, too. And I thought, I'll put her to sleep.
Thank you. Thank you for noticing that there was poetry there.
Cool as anything. So cool, so cool. That's the kind of things
that's
I get all the time. It's amazing. Anyway, sorry. Over to you, Gray.
So, well, we've got 9 minutes left, so let's get some comments.
I thought it was a beautiful write. You know, she captured the magic of that teddy bear just with phenomenal ease and grace. So a beautiful write and a fantastic read, Weaver. And Lee, what are your thoughts?
I thought this was a lovely poem by Pam. I liked her imagery. You know, sometimes all children get is one gift that is given and donated by people who do collections for these toddlers. And I want to give thanks to all the people who volunteer to collect toys for children at this time who don't have anything. And when you give them something like a teddy bear like this, it is the most precious thing they ever have, and they take care of it. And especially I liked here where she says, pure peace found in hot cocoa sips, teddy paws playing the carol of the bells. Like when you can touch a paw on these animals now that they make them and they can sing, and, you know, that's just, you know, the wonderment and the beauty of to a child's heart.
True. I'd forgotten about that.
Absolutely. Great comment, do you?
Yeah. I had a moose that played Jingle Bells. No, not a moose. It was a reindeer.
How cute.
Yeah, played Jingle Bells.
Yeah.
His nose lit up.
And what are your thoughts of the rate, Bobby?
I
thought it was great. I already commented, though.
Pam's always, she is such a skill with brevities, and she's got great storytelling here, things that you can readily identify with, joy spread across the giving of time and laughter, pure peace found in hot cocoa sips, and teddy bear paws playing Carol of the Bells. Great small snippets of Christmas, of holiday memories, spirits soaring in yuletide delights beneath an angel-topped pine. They're just wonderful word paintings, and just
you've got it right. With this brevity, she says it all. It's beautifully done for a holiday. Okay, can we squeeze one more in? We've got 6 minutes.
Okay, sure. We have Santa Paws Clatter and Shatter by Louie Wildo. Tinkle
Yay!
Bell, tinkle bell, tinkle bell breaks. While you're sleeping, I am creeping. Holiday lights and ornaments crash. Now the kitty jumps and smash. Tinkle bell, tinkle bell, tinkle bell breaks. While you're snoring, I am soaring. Craving catnip paws are waving. Pulling tinsel, silver tinsel shavings. Tearing, tearing red bows, disaster dive pose. Golden eyes eyeing each candy cane. Bell time, it's a glorious time. Sliding and gliding, running round. Into red stockings go my dainty feet. Toasting and licking round Santa's milk cup. Cookies and goodies, oh, what a sumptuous treat. Crumbs and tinkle bells, crash ups. Mouses are snoozing while I'm leaping. Treetops are swaying. Tinkle bells dangle. Tangled in light strings. Down goes the starry treetop. No kitty cat, hat, ornaments, reindeers. In a fly, tinkling on Santa's sleigh. Twinkle lights jingle between my paws. Swipe each red hanging ball. Swipe each green hanging ball. Swiping and meowing, hips move to the jingle bell rock. End poem.
So you wrote that. You wrote that to Brenda Lee's Jingle Bell Rock.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now you've got a different version of it now. So do you have it? Do you have a cat?
Yes, black cat.
With gold eyes.
Yes, green. No, they're emerald.
Emerald
yellow. Yeah, they're beautiful.
Because I was going to say a yellow eyes. The gold eyes are Bombay. If you've got a black cat, if the paws are black, and the and the mouth is black, you've got a Bombay there. They're beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How old? What's your Bombay's name?
His name is Buddy Woo.
Buddy Woo. How old is he?
Mm-hmm.
How old is he?
He's probably about maybe 2.5 years old.
Oh.
I got him. He came to my door. He was crying at my door. And friend could hear them on the telephone, and he says, go see what's out there. And I went out there, and there was a 4-week-old baby cat that was nothing but skin and bones. And I'm allergic to cats, so I was going to have him adopted. And I didn't have any food. I didn't have cats. So I fed him dog food, and he ate it. And I put a bed outside for him. And he was already chasing cats away to keep them away from his food. He was 4 weeks old. So when I took him to the vet, you know, he had been starving, put him on good food, and now he's just, people, when they see him, just say, oh, my gosh, he's so beautiful. And I didn't give him away because you know how it is once you...
Oh, they get under your skin.
You know, yeah, you start taking care of a little baby animal, whatever it is.
Oh, yeah.
A bird,
oh, yeah.
A duck, a gray, you know, a groundhog. It doesn't matter.
They wrap themselves around your heart.
Yes.
Well, I wish someone would send a baby cat over to my house because I miss having my pets. I miss my cat.
Aww.
Yeah.
You should go to a rescue and rescue one.
I'm going to. I actually did, but I had to give them back to the shelter because they were so timid. They were so timid that they hid under the furniture and wouldn't come out.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Well,
and I said to the shelter, I said, you know, I said, the lady says, I warned you they were timid. I said, I only had one cat. I said, well, I actually had three, but my experience was they were companionable. These weren't even companionable. I said, I want a companion.
Yeah.
As it is, I ended up having to keep them in my bathroom, and I felt more like their jailer. Because they were so shy. So now I'm in the process. Actually, a new shelter has opened up right about 10 miles or 10 minutes from the house, and I'm going to start volunteering this year. And hopefully I'll be introduced to my future companion there. So, and it's 12 o'clock.
Aww.
We made it. Oh,
yay!
My God. Well, ladies, Blue U, Weaver, I can't thank you enough. Because honestly, ladies, I think this is going to be my last show.
No.
What?
Why?
Really?
No.
Well, the thing is, this is the first time we've had people call in weeks. I mean, it's just for weeks. It was just me and Gray, and that was it.
Can I say something, please? That
yes,
might
please.
Persuade you to stay because you need to stay because I have enjoyed myself so much tonight. Now this is honestly from my heart. I don't call in because you are so clever and your prompts are so clever. And I just don't feel I have anything I can add or give to it. But I still love it and I still enjoy it. So don't go, and I will come in more often.
Oh well, you know, okay. Pam or Phil has kind of left it up to me, and it was, and for a while the contests weren't even filling up with poetry. I was having to
you know what? That's not you. That
no.
just happens at the time around Thanksgiving. You uh-huh. Thanksgiving all the way to Valentine's, let me tell you, it is like being in a desert on a horse with no name. Okay? We all suffer through it.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, it'll be 2 years in March, so maybe I'll carry it out to March and see how it turns out.
Yes.
Especially since you two have, and I know Gray said he'd stay. If I stayed, so
well, I will certainly call in.
Okay.
I'd be happy to. But you just have to. Don't ask me first because I never know what to say. No, I'm joking.
Darling, you never have.
No,
to
you are fabulous, everybody. Yeah, you know, and I'll call it. The only day I have to spend with my mom is on Saturday, so you know
uh-huh.
what I can do is I can call in late, and I would be happy to help out with that.
Yes, me too.
Gosh, that you know what. You changed my mind. I guess I'll have to start drafting a contest tomorrow.
Good.
Better, girlfriend. You better.
Seriously, it got to the point where I was, because, you know, it didn't seem like there was any interest. I thought the contest and the show had run their course.
No.
And I thought people had basically lost interest in the crisis.
No.
So, all right. Okay, well.
We'll find out.
You know what? I'll throw a couple more contacts
right.
out there and see what happens. Okay, you talk me back into it.
Yay!
That's awesome. Thank you, ladies.
No problem.
Thank you.
Happy New Year.
Great show, Bobby.
Yeah,
great. Yeah,
thank
fabulous
you.
Show.
As my grandmother
and Gray.
Would say, and as my grandmother would say, "Chech Slivego no Vego Roku."
Which you would not.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year.
Wonderful. Bobby, I've got a bridge I'd like to share.
Feliz Nuevo Año. Happy New Year to everybody.
Happy New Year, folks.
Yes, ma'am. Happy
Love
New
you
year.
Guys.
Love you.
Love you guys.
Kiss, kiss, kiss.
Good night,
bye
everybody.
Bye.
Much love.
Yes, kiss, kiss. Good night.
Good night, John Bon. Good night, John Boy.
Good night, sweetheart. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.